Hello, everyone. This is the Legacy Members Call. And if you are wondering what a Legacy Member is, that is someone who's been inside an OBS for 1 year or more with uninterrupted service. So if that's you, come on in. We are going to coach. This is your special call. And all you got to do is raise thy hand. Let me know that you want coaching. And let me bring up Coach Lizzie. Hang on. That damn Zoom jumps around. And we're going to start with Alara Massey, who I've not talked to in forever. Can't wait to see your face. That's a delight. I like the legacy call. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I get to see people like from all the years. Hey, hello. Alara, how are you?
I'm good. I hope that I don't sound like a broken record to Betsy. You know, she's been hearing about this same shit for months at this point. And so okay. I've been on vacation this week and we finally got to the point where she was like, what if you just journal about it and do the thought work? And it's brought up some stuff and I just thought this would be the perfect time to go over it. So, I'll take a deep breath. So I finished fellowship the year of the sixth day, and I've been practicing for the last 3 years. And so the job that I took initially, I'm still in it. I took it for reasons I really liked. It's in my hometown. My parents are getting older. It's nice to be close to them, to keep an eye on medical stuff and theoretically see them and spend time with them. So I feel like the first couple of years you're just getting your feet under you, and I feel like I've moved through that time and I've become pretty successful and I think I'm doing a good job. I got my contract renewed. And as part of that, like as you become more busy, the way that it's phrased is you'll be given more time to do surgery. And so right now I'm doing 3 days a week of clinic where you see people and 2 days a week of surgery. Okay. And so people are frustrated. Patients express frustration because they have to wait until December or January for surgery when they have pain now.
Well, yeah, of course they would. Yeah, what else are they supposed to say? Like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
I can't wait to sit here in pain.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And so what is boiling down to is I feel like I've asked several of the right people for more time. I feel like it was told to me that that would eventually happen nebulously as time went on and I became busier. I understand there's logistical constraints in business. Like, you know, it's not physical space, it's staffing. But I think my underlying thought when I was really going through all of it is that I'm so unsupported here. And
is that true? What's the evidence that you're unsupported?
I'm unsupported at work.
How?
Because I've asked for this and I feel like seeing people with back pain for 3 days a week is probably similar to your job. And so sometimes you just need a break from hearing people's problems. And here people are trying to hear ways to get better. In any case,
tell me how you're unsupported. So you've asked for it and you're saying there's staffing issues and things like that, but how is that unsupportive of you as a person?
Because these are the answers I'm figuring out as to why it's not happening. I feel like I'm screaming into the void.
But why are they supposed to share the business workings with you?
I guess not, but I just feel like there's no answer as to when it'll eventually happen, why it's not happening now.
Do you think the answer is already there on the why.
Yeah, right.
There's no staff.
Well, maybe. I mean, that conversation needs to happen and that historically has been an issue, but I don't know if it's an issue right now.
Okay. I would probably this is not thought work. This is called being a professional.
Right.
And you go and you say, I think this might be I just need to know the reason why. Is it because we're short staffed? Have you actually went to these people and said, I need to know why?
That's happening this week. I have the meeting.
Okay. So it's not that you're unsupported. You haven't asked.
Well, I've asked several people. I haven't asked the people I'm meeting with on Tuesday. So hopefully are they the ones
in charge?
Some of them, yes. I've already asked people in charge in many ways, and these are people that are in charge.
What did they say? What did the people who are in charge in some ways, what have they said?
Like, just no answer, that it'll happen at some point. But there's no...
Okay, so they are supporting. Like, I just want to, challenge your core belief that you are unsupported here.
Yeah.
When it's like, You're asking. So one, you're supporting yourself by asking.
Right.
Two,
okay.
You haven't asked everyone that's an influencer in this decision.
True.
So it's not that you're unsupported. It's just like, I haven't talked to the right people. And the people that I have talked to that might know, they're trying to support me by saying it will happen. I just don't like their answer, which is very different.
it is, and they're saying that, but I also feel like they're just kicking the can down the road answer.
Have you asked them, is that a kick the can? Or is this legit? Asked them
that, but I could do that.
This is what I want to show you. When you feel unsupported, you're kind of just taking it all in the butt.
Yeah. And I'm unsupporting myself.
I'm just waiting on everyone to figure out my feelings are butt hurt and them to make me feel better. And it's like, girl, this is business.
Yeah.
Feelings don't come into play.
Yeah.
I wish they did. Right. But business, even for you, you don't want the business to prioritize Laura's feelings, because when they prioritize your feelings, they don't make money, and that doesn't keep you a job.
Or they could prioritize someone else's and fuck me over at some point. I get that part of it.
I know that sometimes that sounds so cold, but as a business owner, I just want all of you to know, if you're feeling unsupported, my first question, first of all, is always, have you exhausted your own resources for speaking up for you?
Yeah.
And if you have, then we are having a different conversation. Now it's they are not supportive. I have to decide if this is the job for me.
Right. And that's where I'm diddling around in the future options of, right? Is I'm imagining I know how these conversations are going to go, and then I'm stuck with these options. And because of we were talking about these as urges the other day, Betsy and I, just that when I feel this urge to just imagine what if, and these urges to not feel this way and this frustration anymore, then it's turning into the way I know how to deal with urges, which is binging. And so that's been.
So what are the what ifs? Back.
Just how will I care for my parents if I move somewhere else?
I would answer those questions.
Okay.
This is, I can tell by your nervous system right now that you need to answer your questions, because you're not supporting you. This is what's happening, Laura.
Right.
Your brain is saying, I don't have clear answers from the people at work.
Yeah.
And part, what I need to do is support myself through this. So what are all the ways I'm going to support me? One, I want to help you through this because.
No, I appreciate it.
I want you to make appointments with anyone that you think is an,
A decision maker.
Yes, a decision. The word influencer kept coming up. I was like, this is not online space.
They do want us to be on social media now. So maybe that's
right. So decision makers. I want you to get in the rooms with them. I think it'll be good for you to even do that for yourself, to show you that this is how I support me, by speaking up for my needs, because binging is your backup plan for when you can't voice your needs.
Yeah.
And we don't want that backup plan anymore. And I'm just going to tell you, it's fine if you're doing it. I know you hate that you're doing it and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's the last, it's like, I want that to be the last option, not the default option.
Right.
So we're going to get into the room and we're going to kind of be really clear with people. So if they say it's going to happen, say, that's amazing. I'd like a timeline.
Okay.
Or say can we work together on a timeline? And I would just share with them, just want to let you know, in my personal life, I've got aging parents here and stuff. I need to get all this figured out because I want to be here.
Yeah.
And if I can get some of these answers, it's going to make it a lot easier for me to be here, and a lot easier for me to be 100% when I am here. And I would just tell them, my patients come in and they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this all day. And then on the other side, I don't have anything just inside of me that can say, I could feel calmer around my patients if I knew there was an end in sight. But it's really hard to listen to people who are in pain and who want surgery, and I want to give it to them.
Right.
And I don't know why I can't or when that will happen. I would just be real honest about it.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. And then the other thing is you have a lot of what ifs going on in your head. Yeah. And you're like, if they're choking you up, then that means they need to be heard.
Yeah.
I mean, like the first time you're like, what if I have to take a job in another city? You need to like.
Well, and I've been offered one and it's where I trained. It doesn't exist yet. But so now that possibility is hanging out there as this near future option that may never come to fruition. But yeah. In my mind, it's this amazing place where all the support that I had as a resident would be there again.
And this is where I would go with my brain and say, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it's always helped when, you know, I'm like a worst case scenario person. And so when you've said that before, like, yeah, just write them all down and answer.
We can answer our own questions for our brain. You will notice the temperature of emotion comes way down. Right now, it's just in confusion and fear. And you're just like, I should eat. And your brain's like, no. And it'll be like, okay, we're going to have a big binge and we're going to eat, but I'm going to come back because like, I'd really like my answers and I'll just keep coming back until you give me some. Even if you have to make shit up, your brain likes to have something to chew on. And right now it's just chewing on uncertainty. And that's the brain's hate uncertainty. The other thing I was going to tell you though, is like, you know, it's always so easy when you're in a situation that feels like I'm so unsupported. They should do better. I'm owed an explanation. When you're in that, and then you've got this other thing, hindsight bias will be that residency was perfect. They did everything for me. If I could just go back there, like your brain purposely blocks out the bad so that it, because right now it's got bad staring it in the face.
Yeah.
So it's trying to go over here and create a lollipop scenario to give you a break from yourself. That is why we do that. Like there's a lot of research about daydreaming. Why do we daydream about our future and like think that things are better over here? It's an emotional release.
Okay.
Otherwise your brain is stuck in uncertainty and fear and despair and it needs a release. So when it's weighing out alternatives, or daydreaming about this, it's a very compassionate thing your brain does. So what I would do, and this is what I do in business. I literally was telling Jane this morning, because I was working through something myself. I was talking about a decision I was fixing to make that I was like, I'm willing to pay the consequences. And I was just kind of talking about sometimes there's decisions that feel really good in the moment. If you're not thinking them through, you almost always jump into something else that looks good. And then you find all the things that you don't like about it. Like you go over there, then you're just like, I'm a shit daughter for moving away from my aging parents.
Well, and it's like,
I'm not supporting them.
Right. And you've said in the past too, it's like, don't look for another opportunity until you've cleaned up your own bullshit. And like, I know that there are things that I can still learn and grow and do differently, but it just feels like hard.
I think getting the clarity over here. And then when you go to this scenario, this is the most powerful question I ask myself all the time. Every great decision, everything that's exciting, hopeful and stuff, always has some type of negative consequence attached. I want to find it before.
Yeah.
Because then I give myself some options. Because I always tell my team, like, all ideas are great, but what are the unintended byproducts of this? Like, what shit's fixing to break? Who's not going to like? Where's the five members that will rail against the system because we made a color change on a button? Like, I'm always telling them, like, think this shit through ahead of time. Yeah. Then you give yourself these options. One, you'll say, like, oh, not as rosy as I thought. Not as great. So now at least I'm comparing apples to apples. The second one is, whoa, I didn't even think about these things. I don't want to have to deal with there's too much negative that comes along with this. So now this is a no. And the third one is, I see the negative consequences. I am willing to deal with them. The price for what will work, like I will pay the negative price because I'm still going to come out ahead. So it gives you like more options. So just kind of when your brain is what-ifing, I want you to answer, this is what will happen if I take this job. And then I want you to kind of go through it more logically. So save this work for when you are, you know, not tired, not frustrated, like when you can do your best work on it, when you're the most clear-headed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know. I hate that. Like, I would love to agree with you that you're unsupported. I love you. Like, I want to just be like, those bastards.
Well, no,
you should treat Laura better.
You know, and it's not I can poke so many holes in it. There's all kinds of like, I'm not acknowledging those because I'm so fixated on the few people that I want to be doing something differently.
And so, more conversations. And this is what gets hard. The more successful you become in life, which you are definitely in the class of successful people I know, the more responsibility you have.
Yeah.
When it comes to having conversations and getting the clarity, and like the more success you get, the less you can depend on other people to kind of take care of your emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, but it's also great.
There are more fun to just say what you think though, too, which is good.
Yeah, there you go. All right. It was good seeing you.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye. All right. Leslie brought, you know, she was mentioned in the 6-day. I had a 6-day event and we talk about this all the time. It feels like it was forever ago. It was in January before the pandemic. We had no clue when we were all together in that room. There was like 70 of us in that room for 6 days. What the fuck was fixing to happen to the world? I'm just like amazed. Hey, Leslie, let's get you unmuted. Hang on. I just tapped your button for you.
There we go. Hi. Hey.
What are we coaching on?
Man, I am an OG. I have been here since 2018, lost 45 pounds over the last 3 years, have gained 30 of them back.
Okay.
And today when I put on my cleaning overalls, they were snug. And anyway, while I was listening to y'all, I thought you get on a call. I've never been on a call before.
I was going to say, your face is so new to me.
No, I've never been on a call before, but, you know, listen religiously and shout out to everybody who has ever shared over the last 5 years. They've been so valuable to me. I have crap data for you right now.
Okay.
Because I'm gaining. And when I'm gaining, I don't do it. When I work on my discovery worksheets, the biggest thing that comes up is, it's going to be so much work. It's going to hurt. I'm going to be exhausted.
Okay. Let me ask you this. When you were losing the 35 pounds, was it exhausting and harmful?
No.
Oh, so your brain is just like,
Lord. No, that's the go-to bullshit excuse. Yeah.
Okay. So we know it's not true.
Yeah.
What was it like?
When I was losing?
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Easy. But I did not do all of the emotional work on the way down. There was a fair amount of white knuckling. And so
what does that mean? Like, how do you know that it was white knuckling?
Because I did not eat. I did not include any of the foods that I love, you know, what we consider good foods.
So this time might even be easier because you're going to include foods you love.
Please, God, let that be true.
Well, it's true because the reason why you didn't keep it off is because you didn't do that piece.
Yeah, well, I didn't. No, I absolutely did not do that piece. And one of the things that I have written down in my notes here is that I'm good on water and sleep. Enough and hungry are the places where I wiggle, or I don't wiggle. I actually push against them. I have plenty of last supper mentality and the old, you'll never get it again.
Okay. So yeah. I just wanted to tell you that this time will be so much easier. Like your brain is like, it's going to be so hard and so punishing only if you do it like you historically do it, which is I should take away all the foods. I should white knuckle and I should not do any of the things that I like doing.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. But what are we going to do this time?
Well, not get in a snit about how fast it's going to go.
How fast do you think it's supposed to happen?
Oh, well, I'd like it to be done next week.
Right. I know, but I know that you have a fantasy that somehow I'm going to come and I guess Hoover all the fat off your body. That's not happening.
No
one actually would want Corinne to do the liposuction because she'd have to bring a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, good Lord. No,
realistically, I just want you to think, like, what is a pace that you think you're supposed to be losing weight per week?
Half a pound to a pound.
Okay. Why would all right. So you're going to lose slower than that?
What do you mean?
Well, you said your fear is that it's not happening fast enough. Then when I asked you, well, how long, like how many pounds a week are we looking at? You're like a half a pound to a pound. And I'm like, okay, that's super reasonable. Why are we saying that's not fast enough?
The crazy brain says 2 pounds a week.
I mean, and you could do that too, honestly, but I mean, half a pound to 2 pounds is pretty much what most people do when they're eating the foods they like and not last suppering and, you know, waiting for slight hunger versus extreme hunger, stopping at enough instead of just right under full.
Can we poke a hole in I can't have a martini once a week?
You really think that you gained 35 pounds over the last 3 years because you've had one martini every week?
No. No.
So I poked the hole in your theory.
But no, it's the how do I develop a relationship with the thought of you cannot have a martini and lose 2 pounds or half a pound a week? Which is
how many calories are in a martini?
I have no idea.
I'm going to Google it for you right now. We're going to talk calories. Y'all are the legacy members. And in legacy calls, we can just talk. We can talk calories.
Yeah, that is totally fine.
Calories in a martini. I'm just curious. 140.
Oh, really? That's all?
That is it. And you're just like, there's no way if I have 140 calories a week of martini that I could lose a half a pound a week.
All of this makes perfect sense. All of this, mm-hmm. all of these thoughts are things that I have thought before.
Yeah.
I know better. I know better. Mm-hmm. I know better from journaling. I know better. Oh my God. You know, I'm a college professor. I teach people how to do things like this all day long. And, but in the moment when I'm irritated, tired, possibly dehydrated, I live where it's very dry. But usually when I get angry, I mean, it's that reach for the food and then it starts a cascade for me.
Right. And we got to figure out we have to figure out one, what to do when you catch yourself cascading. I'm already in the middle of the eating. I'm already doing all this. How do I want to show up for myself there? When I am wanting to reach for the food, how do I want to show up for myself there? Right now, this is your thought. Cascades happen and there's nothing I can do about it. Corinne, can you give me a magic thought to where I never have my doubts and fears ever again?
No, I'm not asking you that. Because I do think in the middle of it, you could stop anytime.
You definitely could. But let me ask you this. What do you think is supposed to be happening with your brain?
When or all the time?
All the time.
Oh, I'm supposed to have, my frontal lobe is supposed to be online all the time managing my amygdala.
All right. And you're a professor, correct?
I am.
Do you know anything about the brain? I don't know what you profess.
Oh, but... yeah, I do. I know a lot about the brain because I actually coach people all the time. I'm an acting professor, and I also teach, and I'm also a dean. And so for coaching, acting, it's like coaching sports. And so mm-hmm. you have to know about the automatic responses. You need to be fairly unconscious while you're up there. So we work on that all the time. And okay, my students, so I am acting like how my students.
Why are you acting like something's wrong with your brain because it's having all of these normal thoughts?
I don't think anything's wrong with my brain. It's actually normal, but I'm fucking tired of it.
But that's why you think there's something wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be tired of it.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I have no traction. I feel like I tip over into fuck it. Just even more the last year than I have.
It's because of this idea. I'm tired because my brain is acting the way it's supposed to. Like, I think there's a desire in you for like, I know you haven't said it, but there's almost like this unconscious desire or yearning for, until this stuff stops, I'm probably hopeless.
Oh yeah.
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 That's the most painful place to be because that stuff's not going to stop. You hating it can stop. You railing against it can stop. All of that energy that you're pouring into it to make it make you broken can stop. And that will feel like you lost 10 pounds right off the top. Like you're creating what we call the unnecessary suffering around our normal thoughts.
Okay. I'm taking note.
Yeah, because this is what I do know. Just from talking to you is, number one, this time actually will be easier, but you're hanging on to the idea it won't because you're going to have mind chatter. And your mind chatter is a lot of shit that's not true. It's telling you that you can't have a 140 calorie margarita, not even a margarita, a martini once a week and lose weight. And then when I said it's 140 calories, you're like, what? I wonder how much time you've spent thinking, I'm going to have to give up everything I love. That's tiring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we just proved you don't have to give up everything you love. You're going to be able to keep a martini every week and lose a half a pound. You're going to be surprised. Some weeks, you're going to lose 2 pounds. Some weeks, you're going to lose a half a pound. And guess what you're going to have to lose? Your story. When your brain is like, this isn't happening fast enough. It's like, well, how fast did we fucking want it? We're in the normal range.
What came up for me when you gave me, when you just did this last bit of coaching is the chatter. And I'm suspecting that the chatter is the gift. It's the absolute necessity right now. It's the chatter that I need to have a relationship with.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me draw it out because Corinne deserves to use her flip chart because I have had it in the living room for over. So about 2 months ago, the leadership team came. I moved it in there so we could do our meeting and then left it in there. And this morning brought it back in and they're all coming next Sunday. Like, hopefully it won't take me another 2 months to move my damn flip chart. All right, let me show everyone how this works. Can y'all see this? Hang on, let me kick my chair. So I've shown y'all this before, but you've got you as the human, and this is the chatter. This is, it's not happening fast enough. You can't have martinis and lose weight. Whatever else you got going on, it's going to be so hard and so tiring and so much work. It won't be easy this time. That all's coming. Then this is where we need a relationship with the chatter. And everyone has it. and it sits on top of this. So I want all of you to think about the chatter is like facts. There, the chatter itself and what it says isn't true, but it happening in your brain is the truth. Like, it's like, there's no way to turn it off. So if I went in there right now and looked at myself full body, I'm pretty sure my brain has chatter. It's going to say something like, ugh, like that looks terrible, because my brain runs pessimistic naturally. Now, if my thoughts about shitty thoughts is, this shouldn't happen, this makes it so much harder, well, until this chatter goes away, I guess I'm just hopeless. This just sends me in a tailspin, and I just, like, I can't do anything. If I have one martini, that means two. Like, when we say things like that, it means we don't, like, this relationship sucks. This will either make weight loss, not the chatter. The relationship with chatter, one path is hard and one path is easy.
Yeah, okay.
Or easier. Let me put it this way. Easier. Because if our thoughts about the chatter, if I walked in there and, you know, like, I go ham on myself and I think, you always think that. It's just one of those days where you're thinking shit like that. And I just move on. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to go watch TV. Like, I don't make it a big deal. It's a lot easier for me not to need to run to the kitchen. But if I go ham on my body and I think, oh my God, am I ever going to get my shit together? This is terrible. Like, well, until this goes away, I can't lose weight. I'm probably going to the kitchen at that point. It's just like your brain wants to say, there's no way you can have a martini every week. You can't eat the foods you like. That won't work. And then your thought is, well, there's no way. I mean, that's just the, like, your thought about this chatter is, it's the God's honest truth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Instead,
I mean, I know it's not, but
with that has to be, everything's debatable.
Yeah. Back here, it's really loud. It's really loud. And
it's supposed to be.
I know it is. I know it is. It's keeping me safe. But
why do you even comment that, but it's real? Like, I love it when y'all say, but it's really loud.
It is. Yeah.
It's such an unnecessary thought. How does it feel when you think that, but it's really loud?
Oh, it feels like shit. It feels like shit.
Exactly.
And
shitty relationship with chatter instead of like,
and confirms
mine's no louder than anybody else's.
And it confirms more work. And I know that I'm not some special unicorn, but, you know, that's what my brain tells me from time to time. So, but this is good. This is good.
This is what I would just tell myself. My only job right now is to take the temperature down about this. I don't call it loud anymore.
Are you sure you didn't just give me a magic unicorn thought? Because that that is like a ding, ding, ding for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is take the temperature down on that. I can hang that sticky all over the house.
Yes. And this is the other thing, just to kind of get your weight loss moving,
mm-hmm.
is I want you to make plans this week, but we cannot do it like we did it the last time. That is okay. A flawed system you tried to use. Like, you used, do you know how, like, there's the law and then there's the spirit of the law. It's like, you kind of did the law of the four basics. Like, well, I'm checking my boxes, but the spirit of the law wasn't there. We got to work up the spirit a little bit. So I want you to really focus this week on, I have this taking the temperature down for sure.
Okay.
And then I'm planning food this week. I'm going to make a daily plan every day. And I'm legit going to plan. Like, it should feel a little unnerving when I look at it. It should probably have some foods. Like, this does not mean you throw away healthy foods you like. You only include them, though, because you actually like them and you want to eat them. But you also include some of the stuff that should give you a little pause of like, ooh, I don't know. Like this is, and the old me wouldn't plan this. I think you need to plan it this week and just get over the hump of no longer eating it behind your back.
Amen.
And I think a lot of you who are kind of, you know, when you've been here a while, y'all kind of sometimes forget all the things that I teach you about planning. And you just kind of cherry pick the ones that feel like they fit in your narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm going to plan, but I'm going to leave out this good, better, best part.
Okay. Okay.
Let's try that.
Let's work that this week. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Are you in the, we have the new Legacy Facebook group. Do you post?
No.
That's okay. I was going to say, you could keep me updated there.
I will. I mean, I can get into the Legacy Facebook group.
You don't have to. It's fine if you don't. I just like, sometimes I tell people like, you know, if you kind of want to get support and kind of, because I don't get to everything I get tagged in, because if somebody farts in Montana, I get tagged like, oh my God, it was a fart. It was the best one ever. So, but I try to hit as many of my tags as I can. So I try to keep up with y'all as much as possible. But if you do happen to either go into the Legacy group and the main group or whatever, you know, feel free to update.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know how it's working out. I'll let somebody know. They'll see it, you know.
Okay.
They'll let you know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Right. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Danielle? Ugh. On y'all right now. Somebody said, I would love to fart in Montana. I am like, so if you were on the last call, you saw that I had started my breakfast before the call. Well, I finished it between calls. And I'm thinking I shouldn't have ate that 2-hour old quiche that was laying on my desk. I'm like, chalk that up into the bad decisions category. All right, I can't see you. Can you turn just a like a smidge where your back window's not flashing you out?
You want me to, I can close it.
That's fine. Yeah.
Blind.
I can't see. All I see is like a shadow. It's kind of creeping me out.
There he is. Here. Well, so I guess now it's pretty dark.
No, it's like you're in a woman's cave over there.
Is that any better?
That's better. Yeah, it's okay. A little. Yeah, we make do.
Okay. Well, let's see if this light will turn on. And then
that's all right. We got it.
Okay.
So, what are we coaching on?
So I have two coaches, private coaches that I'm working with now, and I feel like I am feeling things more than ever.
Good.
But I'm miserable.
Well, that's what happens when we actually feel our feelings and don't eat, chop, and do other things, is that we get all of them. So, like, when you start feeling your feelings more, you're going to feel good sometimes. But then now you're exposed to the ones that you've been running from. And once you start where you feel those, you really expose the real life you're living.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you options on if you want to change your life or not. When we avoid those feelings, we typically feel stuck in our life. Like we have no control over it. We are just at the effect of it. So what's coming up? Or what is the problem with feeling like butt?
I guess it's the... So I worry that feeling like this so much is not healthy, and it's...
How is it not healthy? And what do you, when you say this, which feeling are you feeling a lot?
Like, about? Just sad and hopeless.
Okay.
Sad. And so I worry that it's not just feeling my feelings, but it's my depression too.
What's the difference between depression, sad, and hopeless?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Hang on.
Okay.
How do you know the difference between when you're feeling sad and hopeless because you're kind of being a witness to your life, and when you're actually in depression?
I guess the biggest thing is depression, like it interferes with like my actual life.
Okay.
Like doing things.
Do you feel that that's happening right now?
I guess I feel like I'm like teetering on it. Like yesterday I slept all day. Like I got up to have a little bit to eat and to go to the bathroom. And then otherwise I turned on the TV and just didn't do anything.
And why did you sleep all day? If you had to guess, what were the motivations behind it and stuff?
I was trying to avoid feeling bad about not hearing from two guys that I've been talking to.
Okay. So I don't think so depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to see this. Even though you weren't eating over it,
mm-hmm.
you were feeling bad about mm-hmm. two guys that didn't call you back. So you mm-hmm. used sleep to mm-hmm. avoid feeling bad. So we weren't really feeling bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do we feel bad that two guys didn't call us?
Because then I think I will just never hear from them again.
Okay, so what? Like, if you never hear from them again, why is that bad?
Because I want to hear from them again.
But why do you want to? Like, I want you to think about this. The only reason why you would feel bad about uh-huh. two guys that decide to not call you anymore is because uh-huh. you make it mean something bad.
Uh-huh.
What are you making it mean that they didn't call you?
I think that they don't like me anymore. No one will like me, and I'll be alone.
Okay, forever. So that's what we want to see. We want to mm-hmm. actually, when we allow ourselves to feel bad, then we can mm-hmm. get curious, because it was really hard for you to figure out why was I feeling. I think I was mm-hmm. feeling bad because they didn't call.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people, two guys wouldn't call them, and they would think, well, fuck them.
Right.
They're missing out.
Uh-huh.
Moving on. Like, get me some Tinder.
Uh-huh.
Time to line up the next one. Like, some people would take that approach.
Yeah.
So that's how we know two guys not returning your call doesn't make you feel bad. But if you're willing to feel bad when it happens, then you can uh-huh. get curious. Okay. I wonder why I feel so bad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because I'm telling myself no one will want me and I'll be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is what I want you to see. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we weren't feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting a hint of bad, and we're like, whoa!
Uh-huh.
It's their fault. I should go to bed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So this is what I want to tell you,
mm-hmm.
Danielle. You're going to need to probably feel bad mm-hmm. and sad and hopeless a lot to uncover how you talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is not uncovering anything other than the relationship you genuinely have with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to decide, are you willing to improve it?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I do want to improve it, and even this morning, when I got up, I made my plan, I cried a little and I journaled. And so now it feels less intense, I guess.
Yeah. Probably because you allowed yourself some space yesterday and slept.
I mean, I guess I do want to, but I'm scared.
So why are we scared to improve the relationship with ourselves?
Because
right now you're scared you're going to be alone for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So if we don't improve the relationship with ourselves, we just get to be scared of other things.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're not, spoiler alert, you're saving yourself nothing. But why are we scared to improve the relationship with ourselves?
I think because I have this image of this person that I knew in college who was very like self-assured and confident. And everyone thought she was weird.
Oh, she was. Are you kidding? A woman in college who's self-assured and confident? She's a fucking unicorn. They're like, why does that woman wear a horn out her head?
And I just remember my friends and I not being particularly nice to her.
Yeah. I wonder why.
So like I guess when I think about
this is interesting. There's so much here I can coach and teach on. I'll try to keep myself in a lane.
Okay.
Number one, probably if I had to guess, the reason why y'all weren't nice to her is because she mirrored what you wanted. That's typically what happens. Like in a case like that, especially amongst women, is that when we see the more bold, the more confident, the more self-assured you are, women are notorious for tearing those women down because they're like, I can't have that. When it's not true, because we can all have it. And I will just tell you, I get tore apart on social media daily. Daily, because I'm bold. I say what I think. By people who do not know me all the time. And so if you are going to like who you are and be more confident, you're probably going to put yourself out into the world more, which means you put yourself out into the world for a lot of amazing people. You also put yourself out into the world for the people who are going to either be jealous or feel very threatened or inferior. And unfortunately, a lot of us, when we feel inferior or we look at some other woman and think like on the inside, like, oh my God, I'm a shit show and she's not, we lash out. So you do set yourself up for a little bit of that. But you have to think about this. Your bold, confident ass friend that y'all made fun of, if I had to guess, she moved on.
I'm sure she did.
She probably wasn't like, oh my God, Danielle doesn't like me. And blah, blah, because a confident person who's like weird and stuff, you know what she thought? They're wrong about me. Let me go do something else. Just like if we move you to bold and confident and two guys don't call you back,
right?
You don't think, oh my God, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life and no one's ever going to want me. You're probably thinking, moving on. You know, fuck y'all.
Right.
Or you're thinking rude. Like it's amazing that your first thought wasn't that's rude.
Sure.
Like if you're not going to talk to me, at least let me know. Social norms, y'all. But your first thought was I'm a problem. So it is true. Like it will be scary. And because here's the other thing that's scary about it. And this was the other point I wanted to make that I was going to draw on, which I've just closed my marker and I can't get it open. To improve your self-image, your self, you know, esteem, all those things, the first thing we have to do is hear the ugly. Mm-hmm. We got to know, what do we think about ourselves now? We have mm-hmm. to hear all of it. And to hear it is to feel it.
Okay.
Now, this is where no BS is different. Mm-hmm. Most of us, what we do is the second, like kind of like yesterday, the second mm-hmm. I hear the whiff that something's wrong with me and I feel bad, I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
We just react to it. Now what we want to do is we want to hear it. And when we're like, I feel bad, this feeling doesn't match what happened. Okay. When someone ghosts me,
mm-hmm.
someone doesn't call me back, and I feel bad about me,
mm-hmm.
there's the problem. If I'm disappointed, because I, like, if you were just disappointed, like, I really thought these guys were going to call me back and everything, that's mm-hmm. normal. And we can deal with disappointment because we're now disappointed that they didn't call, but we're mm-hmm. not making it something about us.
Okay.
We're disappointed in their actions. We're disappointed that what we thought was going to happen didn't match up.
Uh-huh.
And then we move into like, all right, moving on. Not going to waste my time with these jokers.
Uh-huh.
But do you see, like, what we want to do is we want to hear the ugly. We want to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to get curious.
Okay.
Where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What am I thinking about this situation? Let me poke holes in this. And I may even feel bad when, as like, I just want you to make sure that you witness it, because mm-hmm. self-image is the chatter.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship you have with all of these thoughts is going to matter.
Okay.
I need you to say, like, I love myself enough to really know what I think of myself now.
Okay. Because
the way to have an easier life,
uh-huh.
to learn how to change the opinion of me.
Okay.
The hard part is to hear it, think it shouldn't be here, freak out over it,
uh-huh.
whine and cry about it. That's hard. And then I just drop into the loop of sleeping and eating.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay. What are you thinking?
That this is going to be, this is what I want, but it's going to be painful to get where I want to be.
Or it's going to be the best thing you ever did for yourself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sit and predict that it's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
I would predict that you're going to figure out how to be there for yourself all the way through whatever it is.
Okay.
You might have days where, like, after this, mm-hmm. you notice you're saying something shitty about yourself and you mm-hmm. feel bad for like 30, 45 seconds until you realize, like, I think this is one of those times I'm not supposed to be tearing myself down. I think mm-hmm. this is one of those times where I just need to, like, look around and be like, I'm not the problem here. Sometimes mm-hmm. I just think I am. And you're moving on with your day.
Uh-huh.
It might be a lot easier than you think.
Uh-huh.
But you do have to hear a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you will be surprised sometimes. You'll be like, shocked I think that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Let me ask you this before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're so afraid of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Is your life so pain-free right now that you're not willing to give that up?
No, it's actually been, I feel like it's been pretty painful for the last, especially the last couple of months.
So you're not losing anything?
No.
It's just one version of a painful life keeps you mm-hmm. stuck where you're at, possibly sending you into depression.
Mm-hmm.
One version of experiencing some pain moves you forward.
Mm-hmm.
Teaches you how to not have such a painful life. Okay. And then how to deal with the painful parts in a loving way.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what we need to be thinking about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It's good seeing your face too. Tell your coaches I said hello.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Adrian? Somebody said, I know logically it is about them not being able to handle something than it is about something being wrong with me, but it is emotionally hard. It's emotionally hard because you are telling yourself that whatever it is you're thinking is true. That's what's making it hard. You've got to do what we've been talking about. You got to poke holes in the theory. So whatever you think it is that's true about you, you need to tell yourself over and over again, why is this not true? Why is this not true? Where's all the evidence that I have that this is not true? Even if you have to lie, have fun with it, be like, make some shit up, do it. It's way better than you just sitting there going like, well, I can't find anything, so I guess it's all true. Fucking make up some shit. Because whatever it is you're telling yourself now, you made that up. So don't be afraid to make up some other shit. All right, Adrian, what are we coaching on?
Hey, urges and calories, counting calories. I, for decades, you know, I came from Jane Fonda and counting calories and keeping it between 800 and 1200. I mean, I'm really good at counting calories. When you ask about the martini, I knew exactly how many.
I'm surprised I had to look it up. I probably could have gotten, if somebody would have given me a 20 plus over under, I could have gotten it.
Gotten it. Yeah. It just
I haven't counted calories in 15 years.
Wow. But when, so I think my urges are what I use as hunger pain, as my hunger. You know, if that makes sense. If you knew in a day you had 1200 calories, about 3 o'clock, you could mentally say, okay, we've had 600, you have 200 left. What do you think about pretzels? You know what? Does that make sense? And I'm just trying to, I can't wrap my mind around it.
What's confusing? I mean, I think that's normal.
It is normal. Good.
Yeah. It's normal coming from, it's just like Jane and I, we talk about this all the time. Neither of us have counted calories in forever, like forever at this point. But I did it for so many years. Like, you can't just turn that calculator off in your head. What you can turn off, though, is the response to it. Thinking, oh, it's okay to eat because I mentally calculated. It's like, I remind myself all the time when I do that. I just say, hey, or like, it doesn't matter if you've got calories left or you've had too many calories today based on my mental calculations. The only thing that matters is, do I need to eat right now?
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I had my first moment eating spaghetti the other night, which spaghetti was always a big no-no for me. You know, it just, the calories added up. And I was like, I can eat this. And there was no feeling of like getting in trouble. You know, I don't know, the beat down in my brain. And it was so cool. It was so cool. And, but I hear myself wanting to have those urges. And I'm like, is this a hunger pain or is this, you know, an urge? And then I, anyway, you're helping me break a really long cycle. And I thank you for that.
Well, I think you're doing it just right. And I think that was kind of like your original question is if my brain is still trying to say like, ooh, it's 3 o'clock. I think we have some wiggle room. Like we could probably sneak this in. Totally normal.
Okay, good.
We want, like, it kind of goes back to this. This has been the best doodle of my day. It goes back to this guy. Your chatter is just calorie counting and negotiating. Should we eat a little something? Like all these things from years and years and years of trained diet behavior.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away for a long time. What ends up happening is this relationship can change really fast with it.
Wow.
So the relationship can be, that's just old shit that I've always thought, like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm not counting calories anymore. Your brain's going to be tripwired to do it for a long time. Like I said, I haven't done it in 15 years. if it ever goes away, I will alert the media. I just now remind myself, like, it doesn't matter. Are you hungry or not?
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Well, thank you very
much.
Enjoy
pasta. That's funny you said that, because I haven't had pasta on my dinner menu for a long time. My son loves it, and he gets JJ to make it for him every week. And this last week, I was like, I think I'm going to have spaghetti this week. I don't know what. I haven't craved spaghetti in years. And Chris eats it all the time. And I'm just like, I'm having spaghetti this week.
Right?
You just never know. You know, I ate a fuck ton of it growing up. So it was one of those cheap foods that we could always eat. So we ate it all the time. So I haven't had a craving for it in like a long time. But this week I was like, I think some pasta would be great this week.
It's such a weird feeling. It's like falling off a cliff, but you know you're going to land okay, but it's just such a different thought process. And I'm very grateful for that. Yeah.
Everything you told me sounds like you are doing the work just right. Like, you're starting to feel okay with eating foods. You're feeling like, this is a great thing. Like, you're noticing some of that food, like, angst and guilt starting to tamp down. You're hearing these thoughts. You're questioning, like, is this normal or not? It's very normal. Like, you're so on the right track. Okay.
Okay, good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good weekend.
You too. All right, elders, I have to go. I have got two prize winners from, I think it was the challenge in August, I believe. They are getting their prize calls this afternoon, so I'm going to pop over to them. Y'all have a good one. I will see you next month. If you didn't get your question answered here, you can always go to the Legacy Facebook group. You can take it to Ask Coaches. We'll be happy to help you there too. All right. Bye-bye, y'all.